Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slap Box Podcast. This is episode 650. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick agent, Fox Mulder, is not loving life right now. I'm really sorry for that. He's hiding out on top of the refrigerator downstairs as it's been a shit week. You know, I thought getting a second cat would be good for him. Give him a little playmate. It definitely wasn't for my benefit. I didn't really want to take care of two animals. It's not gone well so far. It has not gone well. We're approaching the start of week three. It's been almost a full 3 weeks since Scully's been here. Yeah, she's freaking out right now. She doesn't like to hear me talking. I guess I'm going to have to pause for a second and see if I can't get her to shut up. Anyway, she's right next to me. Hopefully she... gonna chill the fuck out for a moment. Yeah, the last week has been a bit of a shit show. Disregard the fact of what's going on outside this house. Tariff wars. Apparently it's unsafe to fly a plane in this country anymore. We're about to see record inflation. As if we hadn't seen enough of that in the last few years. It's just not great. You know, I'm still hoping to go to Germany next September. But again, you know, it looks like I don't know if there's going to be any flight controllers left for me to safely fly to Germany come September. We'll see. She is flipping out again. Shit. Anyway, it's looking like, it's just not going well. The two cat situation. I called in again to work on Monday. She didn't let me get any sleep. She started last Sunday night. She would not stop. She just would not stop meowing. There was a good 24-hour period. She wouldn't stop. She didn't let me get sleep pretty much all week. And although I went to work the rest of the week, I just started getting back on the caffeine. Just, you know, mainlining monsters. And back on that wagon, unfortunately. And she's still not getting along with the Agent Fox Mulder. She just likes to attack him. There was the other night. At nighttime, I've been leaving her in closed up in my room, which means I've also got a litter box in my room. Not great. Because she also one day decided to send me a fuck you. left her up here in the bedroom when I went to go make my breakfast and lunch for the day at work. Was, you know, maybe 20 minutes. I was out of the fucking room with her clothes in here. She had to shit, and there was a clean litter box. A clean litter box, nothing in it other than, you know, the pine chips, shavings, whatever. And you know what? She's like, I don't want to shit in that. I'm going to shit on the carpet. So she shit all over the carpet, and then I had to clean that up before I went to work, and thankfully I had enough time to air it out a little bit with the fan, open the window. Thankfully it wasn't obscenely cold, and here she is freaking out again. This is my life now. This is my life now, as this 6-pound cat is just controlling my whole fucking life. I haven't been able to run. I've just been dealing with this. Although I went drinking last night. So I've been out a little bit. I went drinking last night. That's a story for later on. Mainly what I was going to talk about tonight was actually... I'm sure I'll make my way back around to this terror of a cat that I have living here. That is now... I've got a calming collar on her. There's a feel-away calming spray that I've got plugged in like a diffuser that I thought maybe was calming her down, but it appears not. She is a monster. She is a maniac. and Maniac. Anyway, what I was gonna say is the whole premise pretty much of last week of me doing the show was me talking about how I wasn't going to the Blues game. And then I looked up because my friend John, who I went to the bar with last night, he couldn't find a sitter for his kiddos. And so, but I happened to look what, you know, kind of tickets I could get for one single ticket. And it turns out I could get one 8 rows behind the Blues bench. And I didn't pull the trigger during the show last week, but I did after. I did after, and you know, it felt weird going to a Blues game by myself. But again, I've gone to Russia, I've gone to Ireland and Germany all by myself, and did a lot of shit over there by myself. So I felt like I was a big boy. Like I could go ahead and do it. And after, like, last week on the show, I was reading all these Reddit posts about people going to NHL games by themselves, and I was like, you know what? And I saw how close a ticket I could get, which I'd used the Game Time app to buy the tickets. Now, what I didn't realize when I bought that ticket, I realized once I got to the cart after, like, just going all in, because it was like $80-something for that ticket. I saw, like, that's a fucking steal for an amazing seat. Well, if you want to see the price with the service fees, you have to click a certain option in that app. And it turns out the prices aren't that different from Ticketmaster and StubHub. But I thought they were because it wasn't showing the service fees. It ended up being like a $30-something service fee because it was well over $100. Either way, I had great seats. And since I already paid so much for a ticket, I was like, well, I can't at that. And I looked for parking. There was nowhere close to park left. That's apparently one thing you can't wait to do. If you're going to pay for parking for a Blues game, don't wait till the last minute on a Saturday night game. That's just not great. Good luck finding a spot anywhere near. So I ended up riding the Metro, which on the way back, that turned to get a little hairy at the end. But we'll talk about that in a minute. I'm going to the game. I was getting jacked because I had watched all of the ceremonies as far as inducting Curtis Joseph into the Blues Hall of Fame and watching like his old highlights. And it was just like, I remember, you know, watching a lot of his games and shit when I was a kid. And that was like the first memories I had of watching Blues games was seeing Curtis Joseph out there in goal with Brett Hull and Adam Oates, all those fellas from the 90s. And yeah, so I mean, I fucking have a certain love for one Cujo. And I was like, man, he's going to be there. They're going to have a little recognition of him right before the game. And, like, I can have a seat 8 rows back behind the Blues bench. And I was like, yeah, we're fucking doing this. Or I'm fucking doing this. It's a solo event. So I drove up there. Well, to the Shrewsbury Metrolink station, hopped on the Metro, and managed to get to the game. The getting to the game wasn't a problem. It was the way back was the issue on Metro. But anyway, I got there, and I'm really starting to know my way around the Enterprise Center now that I've been to so many games this season. But I mean, the place is just a circle. But knowing what what does help though is, like, you know, knowing what entrance leads to where in a part of the city, I think is the part. I know how to get there from the Metrolink, which station to get off on and like which entrance, yada, yada. Anyway, upon getting there, I got the Curtis Joseph Hall of Fame puck, which I've gotten a couple of pucks since then, too. This weekend, I got a couple of pucks. And so I've got... like seven or eight pucks in my puck display case now. There's 40 spaces in total, so I got a little ways before I can fill that fucker up. I got the Curtis Joseph Hall of Fame puck there. I was like, I got to get this. It's a Cujo puck. So I had that in my pocket. I think that's the only merch I bought at the game. Yeah. Well, I got the banner. I didn't pay for that, though. I got early enough to get the Class of 2025 Hall of Fame banner with Wayne Babich and one of the original Blues. Off the top of my head, I can't remember which original Blue it was. He has passed away, unfortunately. But Wayne Babich and Cujo were there at the game, which Babich was a little before my time, so I don't really remember Wayne Babich. Like, he, I think, started on the Blues in 1981, which is the year I was born. and by the time I was old enough to probably even remember seeing a game, like, he was already gone. Again, like, the Cujo era is what I remember. Like, first real memories of watching Blues. But anyway, here we go again. As Agent Scully's chiming in. She's, this is what she does. This is what she does. At nighttime, it gets real fucking hairy. And, it's been hard to not just strangle her. As, I'm not a violent person, and I really don't like to be violent on animals. That's not something I like to do. So I've been spraying her with water and such. Anyway, back to Cujo. I've not hurt her. I just want to point that out. pretty sure I won't either. Pretty sure. But she's been driving me pretty crazy with this lack of sleep shit. Anyway. So yeah, I'm at the game. I got my puck. And I went and got some food at Brett Hull's restaurant there in the Enterprise Center. I forgot what exactly it's called, but it's a little kiosk, whatever you want to call it. I ordered the Holy's Big Ass Meatball. I think mainly just because I wanted to say that for ordering. It was this older black lady who seemed really cool, just like going like... I don't know, I just, black ladies, I feel, I don't know, I thought maybe, you know, they'd enjoy the humor more, but I'm sure they get it from everybody that gets up there and orders the shit, but, so, I don't know, I would imagine it gets real old here and somebody say, I want Holy's Big Ass Meatball, but, I mean, she seemed, I don't think she thought it was that funny that I said it, of course, but she was very, very happy and very positive, you know, just had a good energy to her. But I don't remember she said, here's your big-ass meatball. I don't think she said that, but upon getting it, I do recall that I was like, you know, that is one big-ass meatball, and really I wish I maybe would have ordered something else. It was a good big-ass meatball, but it really is just a big-ass meatball with a little cheese and some marinara. And there's nothing else. So you're just eating a big meatball. And I got to say, not something you can just take to your seat and eat. It's something you need to go find a place to sit down in the Enterprise Center that's not your seat. You got to have like a fork and a knife. It's a bit of a situation. Good luck walking to your seat because there's not a box that's good for carrying the damn thing. So yeah, I ended up eating that before getting my seat. I got a... was it Angry Orchard? Or I might have had a Blue Moon. Anyway, I had a beer or an Angry Orchard, something to that effect. And then, yeah, I made my way to seat, and it was the best seats I've ever had to a game. You know, maybe at some point I'll sit on the glass, but I mean, I felt like I was pretty much on the glass. I mean, it was like right over, right over where the glass ends. And so I was thinking, like, oh, this would be a spot that could very easily get hit by a puck. No pucks ever came my way, though. But I was, since I was by myself, I was way more alert, and I was watching that puck the whole time. So I imagine had it flipped over that, I would have been alert enough to be able to either get the fuck out of the way or make an attempt to catch it. But I think even by sitting that close, I there's a good chance it could have hurt trying to catch that fucker. It was probably going pretty fast, depending on who hits it. And, you know, is it a slap shot? I mean, there's various things. Hockey pucks are hard. And I haven't tried to catch one when it's been going, like, super fast. Or one in general, I guess. But I'm going to venture to guess it could really fucking hurt. Maybe I should bring, like, a baseball mitt if I'm going to sit in that spot again. But, yeah, I was really excited when they brought Cujo and Babich out. And let's see here. I'm just going to look up Blues Hall of Fame 2025 so I don't look like a complete dumbass. Of the who the other I thought I knew the name, but I didn't want to say it, of the other player that has passed on. Jim Roberts. That's, of course, the other blue, one of the original Blue Notes that passed away. His family, of course, was also there at the game. But man, it was pretty great sitting that close. And I mean, I was right behind the bench. I could see all their faces. I mean, I could make out all the details. I was so close to the Blues. And of course, Babich and Cujo and the Roberts family all came out to honor them for entering the Blues Hall of Fame beforehand. And I was so excited that I was just, at one point in time, I guess probably close, at least like a good 40 feet away from Cujo. And I was like, I thought that was as good as this is going to get, you know? I was like, holy shit, I'm that close to a legend. And I could tell that dude was just straight up jacked still. And I was like, man, that guy looks like he could still get out there and play. And I'm going to guess that he is probably about 60. I guess I can look it up real quick. Let's see what he is. 57. So yeah, he's almost 60 years old. But damn, I mean, he looked like he could still get out there. It looked like, I mean, he was just looked good. And then, of course, first period gets over, and I was like, all right, I had to hit the bathroom, which I got out there, like, immediately, and I got out there before there was a real line at the bathroom. But it helps when you're, like, near, I guess that had it been mezzanine level, it would have been a different story. Mezzanine level, I feel like it might have been a little bit, as holy shit, cat, chill the fuck out. this is my life now. This is my life. She just freaks out. I guess I'll pause again and see if I can't get her to chill out. All right, sprayed her with some water with a tad little bit of vinegar. Hopefully that gets her to calm down a little bit. It usually chills her out for a little bit. It's just a bit ridiculous. This is, I can't seem to find any good way to just, like, calm her down. It just sucks. Anyway, back to the game. I just gotten out of the bathroom at the break in between first and second period. That's what it was. The end of the first period. I go hit the bathroom. And pretty much right after I got out of the bathroom, I happen to see these massive eyebrows to one Mr. Wayne Babich, who was right in front of me. I was like, oh, holy shit, it's Wayne Babich. And it should have occurred to me that he's probably hanging out with Cujo, but it didn't, as like I was moving my head as I'm looking at Wayne Babich. Well, I almost walked directly into Cujo. And made eye contact with him, and we were like face to face. But I was just kind of dumbfounded. I was not expecting to walk out of the bathroom and then meet one of the greatest all-time goalies in NHL history. That was not, although I knew he was there. You know, I had great seats. I was on the ground floor, man. I imagine his seats weren't too far from there. Probably sitting in a box somewhere, but I was taken aback. I was just, oh shit, Cujo. And I didn't say anything, but I don't know if I even smiled. I just kind of like made eye contact with Cujo. I was like, oh, holy fuck, it's Cujo. And then we were both walking different directions, and it just like, it set, I was like, holy fuck, man, I got his puck in my pocket. And I'm like, at least I could do, you know, I didn't know that he even had time to sign a puck, but I mean, at least I could do was say congrats for, you know, because nobody, I didn't hear anybody yelling Cujo or anything, which I would imagine most people my age would probably recognize Cujo walking through there. So there was probably some people saying hi to him and shit. But I was like, fuck, I should have at least said congrats for getting into the Blues Hall of Fame. And then so I was like, I turned around and I tried to find where he went. I was just like going to say, you know, just congrats, Cujo, whatever, you know, just like, and then, yeah, I couldn't find him. I waited too long. I was too, caught me off guard, caught me with my dick in my hand, basically. I mean, I just came out of the bathroom. But I was like, holy shit, I just came that close to greatness, to the great Cujo, to the great Curtis Joseph. Which, fun fact, I don't have a problem saying Curtis Joseph. That's apparently something that... his former teammate had a problem with, and that's why he started calling him Cujo. Anyway... fuck. I probably should add some caffeine before starting this, because that's just the only thing that keeps me awake now. Again, it's hard to fucking sleep with this cat in my house. Anyway, so yeah, that was, I feel like that was worth the price of admission for the game right there. I mean, and then after that, I was like, all right, I guess I'm going back to my seat. And then right after I got back to my seat, Babich and Cujo were on TV, so they left right from where I had seen them into a like a TV spot, and so I would imagine he probably wouldn't have had time to like sign a puck or anything had I just had my brain been working appropriately. But either way, I mean, I could have at least said something. I feel like I should have said something, and but I was excited the fact that I just brushed up against greatness. And unfortunately, the Blues lost the game 2-0 to the Dallas Stars. But man, it was like so awesome, like sitting that fucking close. And I was hoping Cujo would be hanging out like near the front entrance, like at the end of the game. But I didn't see him on my way out, so I was like, ah. Oh. I did see that he did a radio show at the Enterprise Center, like after the game had ended. So he was probably off doing that. But, so yeah, I didn't get to converse at all with Curtis Joseph. yeah, the way back though, I mean, was a different treat all itself. I had, taken, of course, the Metrolink, and I've ridden the Metro a lot. And they've actually added cameras all over the place, like all over the place, which is a good thing. I mean, the Metrolink's been known to have some shootings and stabbings and whatnot. It can be a little sketch. Usually on the Red Line, from what I understand, but it happens on the Missouri side too, the Blue. Anyway, it was all cool in the gang up until they had shut. They were doing maintenance on one of the lines, and so there was shut down to like one line, basically, in certain areas, and it took a lot longer than I was hoping it would to get back home, and which was a shame. But the real drag was when we were headed to the last stop. There was only a few of us left on the train. I got on at Shrewsbury, and of course that's where I had to get off at, which is the closest to me as far as stops are concerned, because, you know, why am I going to bother to drive further into the city and waste more gas if I'm going to hop on the Metro anyway? It was $5 round trip to ride the Metro. Much cheaper than getting parking up in St. Louis. And then adding in the extra gas. But Yeah, the way back, there was not very many. There was only a handful of people of us or whatever on the metro, and I think we were all pretty much by ourselves. The few that were on there, I don't think anybody was like grouped together. And I could hear somebody behind me going off about Trump, and you know, some of the points I was like, yeah, that's true, talking about billionaires fucking us and shit. You're like, yeah, I can get on board with that. But then I started hearing in the conversation some pretty out there shit that I was like, okay, whoa, buddy, you're a little fucking crazy. Like, I know I'm crazy, but you're on another level. I gotta remember what Ollie said, but I know at one point he was going off about MS-13. Which, yes, is a serious problem. I'm not downplaying that. It is a gang that actually technically started in the U.S., but is, I guess, El Salvador, and I guess a lot of Central American is where the gang members come from. But from what I understand, it was started here in the U.S. Fun fact. But the fella started saying that there's over 1 million MS-13 members in the United States. I was like, man, that... I'm pretty sure that's not true, which I ended up looking it up later, and they guesstimated about 10,000. But there's like about 1 million gang members overall with all the gangs in America. There's about 1 million, which isn't a great statistic, but there's not 1 million MS-13. There's quite a few. I mean, 10,000 is no joke. There's probably more than that now when I looked at those numbers, but it's not 1 million. And this fellow proceeded to say how, because of what Trump's doing with the mass deportations and is like going after MS-13, that they're going to do a terrorist attack against the United States. And he's like, I predict it's going to be within like the next 2 months. I thought this guy was talking to somebody else in the train, like an specific individual, or maybe on the phone, you know, it seemed that way, but it became more and more clear as I heard him talk, that he was moving through the train. Again, he was started behind me, and then eventually he came and sat in front of me, and he's just directing towards everybody on the train. And he's getting more and more aggressive in what he's talking about and just like his demeanor and whatnot. And I'm assuming this guy was homeless, because he started going off on a tangent about how awful we are to homeless people, which, look, yeah, we can do a lot more for the homeless. And I mean, there's just so much more homeless now. Unfortunately, with this tariff war that's going on now and everything, the price of everything's going through the roof. I mean, and even before the tariff war, I mean, the price of real estate and just housing in general is fucking obscene in the whole country now. I mean, it's just the pandemic really fucking, that shit really went through the roof, and it's continuing to skyrocket, and no one can afford housing. So, homelessness is just unfortunately going to get worse and worse. But he was getting just his whole demeanor seemed very aggressive. I think he was homeless. I don't know that for a fact he was, but he was very pissed off about the whole situation. And he was talking with some weird shit about Kamala too. And he was just like saying that she was going to bring in a bunch of fucking workers from India to take all of our jobs. I mean, some of his conspiracies got really fucking out there. Like, at first, he was making sense. Like, okay, this guy does pay attention to the news, at least somewhat, and, like, knows some stuff. But then I'm like, oh, but he's... little, like, then it's like, oh, there's a little bit of truth in here. And then just like, whoa, what? Bunch of Indians are going to take our jobs. Dots, not feathers. As there we go again. Agent Scully is... I'm going to have to pause for another second. Teaching a cat to just not constantly meow is a real bitch if that's just their go-to, apparently. I've never had a cat meow this much. I mean, Fox meows. I thought he meowed quite a bit, but that's mainly when he's hungry and, like, I talk to him, so, like, he talks back to me. I mean, there's plenty of recordings of this podcast where he'll come in and chime in a little bit, but I mean, it's occasionally, not like throughout the whole fucking thing, and not like every episode. Usually when he talks to me, he's like, it's time for bed. We're going to bed. Or I'm hungry, but I need to eat. Feed me, fucker. Anyway, back to the Metro. I'm on the Metro, and the guy's, of course, going off. He's giving a free sermon to the whole train, apparently, is what he was doing. He was giving a sermon, just speaking, telling his truths, telling us truths so we could all be educated. As when I messaged Shelley about it, he was like, that's why I love riding the Metro. You learn things. And so, yeah, once I got the train ended at Shrewsbury, the end of the line, so I assumed we were all getting off, which is fantastic. That means this fella's getting off, too. And so I was in a hurry. There was a woman that was by herself. She ran out in front of me, and she's basically, like, sprinting. And so I was clearly not the only one that felt aggression by this guy. So, like, what he was saying, just the way he was saying it. And, yeah, I was right behind the woman that was by herself. There was at least one other person behind me. And, as we were going down the steps, like, she is just flying down these steps. I'm going pretty fast. I can hear, it sounds like somebody's running behind me. I'm like, oh, fuck me. I don't know if this guy's going to fucking trace me down or what. It just seemed like not a good situation. It was like as soon as those doors opened on the Metro, it was like the pistol at the starting of a race, like a big marathon, and just like, oh fuck, it's time to go. And I fell a little bit down the stairs. My leg slipped. I grabbed the railing, prevented myself from completely falling, but my leg had slipped. And I was like, fuck, I started to go down. I grabbed the railing, pulled myself back up, and then I did not look behind me. I don't think the crazy guy, the free sermon guy, was behind me, but maybe like directly behind me. I'm pretty sure it was just another person that was by themselves that was running behind me. It was like, I got to get the fuck out of here. The woman, as soon as I felt, she did not look back when I said, oh, fuck. And, like, she just, I mean, she was gone. She was like, oh, fuck, I am out of here. And, which was good. I don't think anything happened to her. I realized once about, I got myself back up from, like, slipping, that I was like, oh, fuck, I went the wrong way. My car is parked on the other side. It was fucking cold out, too, by that point. I was like, oh, fuck, I got to go all the way around. I started going the wrong way, like, son of a bitch. Because I just saw stairs, and I just fucking went for him. You know, it was just like, I am not staying anywhere near this dude. I don't know if he's going to rob me or anything, but there's a good chance there could be an altercation here, as he is very upset. And I felt like just being, as a white person, he was a black gentleman, but I feel like the way he was talking about with, I feel like I'm just an example of Trump, unfortunately. You know, there's a lot of racism that goes along with being MAGA, and there's just, you got Elon Musk, who is running a lot of the government now, giving off Nazi salutes and stuff. I don't want to be associated with that. I am not a fan of the Nazis, and not a fan of racism in general. And, you know, I can understand being upset with, I guess, white people in general right now. I guess forever. We've been pretty bad towards minorities. but anywho, yeah, I managed to get out of there. And I didn't, like, break my leg or ankle or anything when I started to fall, so that's a good plus. I got to my car. It was so cold. I was so cold by the time I got there. Thankfully, I had the heated seats, and I made it out alive. And it was kind of funny, on my way back, I saw my old buddy Pee-wee that used to work with me, that he... it's been a while since I guess he's worked with me, but I got a phone call from him, and he never calls me. We still play a Call of Duty together sometimes, but like, I was like, holy shit. Like, what's up, man? He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I guess he had known from like the group chat we have with the Call of Duty group chat that, that I was going to the Blues game. And, he called me up and asked me what I was doing. I was like, well, I'm at, like, at that point I was in Grace Summit. I was like, I'm in Grace Summit right now on my way back home. And, he's like, I'm right next to you. And I look over and he's got his, like, talking into his phone, looking right over at me. I'm like, holy shit. It was just so random. I'm not sure what he was doing. But he just happened to see me on the highway going back from the Blues game. It was kind of funny. Kind of a weird, strange turn of events. But overall, I was pretty excited to have gone to the Blues game. It was pretty cool going there. Now, the other pucks I had gotten, I did order a crystal puck that has what you would call home ice in it. That is water that was ice on the Enterprise Center, or so they say. I mean, it's supposed to be. I'm assuming they put real stuff in there, but I don't know. I'm quite curious to see what they do when they get rid of the ice. I don't know. I don't know, man. But it's not from the Stanley Cup. It's from last season. So there's a possibility it could have been one of the games I went to last season. Highly unlikely, but maybe. Either way, I've got a crystal puck added to the collection. And then I also, yesterday, went with my buddy John, of course, from work. He wanted to go to the mall. There was a few things he wanted to pick up. And I think it was a birthday present for his mother he wanted to get. And so we had went to this outlet mall that Shelly and I had gone to several years back that used to have an NHL store but does not anymore. We went there, and I didn't see any good like sports memorabilia stores. There was a Lids, I think, in there, the hat place, that had some really good deals on hats, but I didn't end up buying any. Like, there was like $10 hats in there, which is pretty nice. I didn't buy anything at that mall, but John had gotten the gift for his mother, which was one of the main things he wanted to get. And there was a, like, I don't know the name of the store, but it was basically cowboy gear. We went in there first, and he bought a jacket. And so, I guess a jacket. He was going to get some pants, but he did not. But I didn't buy anything from there. I didn't get a hat. Yeah, I definitely didn't get a cat there. Don't need one more of those. The second one I've got's already given me stressed to the gourds as it is. I don't need another one. Anyway. So after we left there, it was like he wanted some hot wings, so I was like looking for either a Hot Shots or a Buffalo Wild Wings nearby. And the closest one I could find, which I didn't really pay attention to which direction it was going. But the closest one I could find was Buffalo Wild Wings. I thought about just going to a Hot Shots. There was ones not too much further away. But really, in reality, I should have went the other direction. Because we went to the O'Fallon one, which was further away than what I would have gone home. But it had a little bit of time to drive. Silly me. But I don't think things through much. we went to Buffalo Wild Wings, and I had the mango habanero yet again. The last time, it's like an extract they're using, I gotta say. It's got some heat to it. It was all right, and it was Buffalo Wild Wings. They got some good stuff. Also had the fried pickles, but, the plus side about going to that one, though, which I didn't know this upon picking that destination, is there was a rally house. The sports store, like right next to it. And so after Buffalo Wild Wings, we hit that up. And then I got yet another puck from there. So far, they've all been Blues pucks, except for one that's just the Stanley Cup that's on it. But I got another Blues puck from there that was pretty sweet. Some coasters, because I'm supposed to be getting this table still. I figure I might want some coasters, but the coasters are of the Enterprise Center, where the Blues play, of course. And, sadly, there's only two. Maybe I should have bought another pack of them. But I got that and some banners to put up on the walls. So I got a few things. So I got like a whole blues wall going on. So I got it's starting to look like I actually live here, of course. Like after a little over 3 years later of buying the place. It looks like someone lives here. Ish. It looks like cats live here mainly. Again, that has been mainly my life. But after that, I figured that was going to be it. I figured I would record. This is Sunday, of course, when I'm recording this. I'm going to be uploading immediately after stopping recording, which pretty much never happens. I thought I was just going to go home and record the podcast and play some COD, and that'd be my night. But John's like talking about still wanting to do stuff, and he's like, I guess I'm just going to go home and play Call of Duty. I was like, all right, I mean, I guess we can just go bar hopping here in Washington. And so he had never gone to the bars really in Washington, so I took him over to the Landing. And, you know, we had several drinks. I did one shot, and then John ended up having two shots. But there was... unfortunately, I mean, there was a couple of attractive ladies that were sitting next to us when we first got up there that clearly didn't show any interest in either one of us. at least I wasn't picking up any vibes from that. But, you know, I can be aloof at times, but I don't think that they were interested. However, we did chat up a lot with the bartender. She was having a rough night. There was one of the waitresses that was taking care of all these tables and decided to just get drunk and then just leave the tables to her. And it was, again, a Saturday night, and so she was really not happy about things. So we were chatting it up with her. John was, like, flipping out because there was cake. There was two different birthday parties that were going on, and this bartender was having to like wait on these fucking like go over to their tables and wait on them and everything. And so she was just not having a good night. And John was like, they had given her a piece of cake, I guess. And it was just sitting back there in the bar, and John's like, I really want that fucking cake. Man, that cake looks so fucking good. And he was like asking if he could order a brownie and shit from the kitchen. And meanwhile, we knew she was having a real rough time, and he's just trying to like, I want fucking cake. I want something fucking sweet. And just like, dude, chill the fuck out. And I was telling her she could just go ahead and punch him in the face, which she was laughing and thought that was funny. I was trying to be the good cop and let him be the bad cop. And I think it was working with by the end of the night, she seemed, you know, like she was talking more and more to us. But anyway, neither of us went home with her. I should point that out. But the funniest part about the night is while that was going on with the waitress, these three gentlemen had sat to the right of myself. John was to my left. And they were, I would say, in their 20s, some younger gents. And I thought they were fucking with me at first, and I feel like my initial reaction, I feel kind of bad about it, because rejection just sucks any way you look at it. But the one guy goes, hey, excuse me, my buddy thinks you're attractive. And I was like, oh, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I was like, I really thought they were fucking with me at first. And I was like, thanks? Like, it threw me off, too. Like, I was just not expecting that. Like, also, you know, I'm an old dude. I'm in my 40s. So old man still got it, you know what I'm saying. But I was really just kind of thrown off by the whole thing. And John's just dying laughing about how this guy thought I was attractive and stuff. I got to say, though, you know, again, I'm not into the taste of sausage. Well, I mean, I love a good bratwurst, but actually, like, sucking on a peen, not really my go-to. Not something I'm interested in. I kissed a guy before, you know, in a gay bar. Our friend Danny, which it was fun. Used to be fun hanging out with Danny. I haven't hung out with Danny forever. Of course, when the gay bar JJ's was in St. Louis, I went there twice with Danny. And anyway, But Those are some fun nights. Anyway. But yeah, I wasn't expecting that. Like, that was, I mean, I was hoping for some ladies to get interested, but I wasn't getting any of that. But hey, somebody thought I was attractive last night, so that I think was a plus. But John thought it was so hilarious that this dude wanted to ride up on me. And they were, I had mentioned how old I was and stuff. They're like, whoa, you're not that old. And I was like, going to take out my IDs. Like, oh yeah, we all got fake IDs. So hell, they may have not even been 21 as they were talking about fake IDs. I'm old, so it's hard for me to tell. I mean, they look young. I don't know. I wouldn't know how old they actually are. They were a lot younger than me. I know that. But it just got real uncomfortable after that. Is like, I hope I wasn't too much of a dick though. Like I thought they were like screwing with me at first. And like, but it turns out I think he really thought I was attractive. So I was like, you know, like I shook his hand and stuff, and like, yeah, I didn't suck his dick. Though he was an attractive young man. I'm sure he can really. I mean, if he finds a fella that's into that, shouldn't be a problem, man. Shouldn't be a problem. Just unfortunately nowadays, there's a lot of hate going around of that. It's not looking, you know. Positives for, you know, rights as far as like gay marriage and shit as it stands, because as of right now is legal in the United States. But I would be willing to bet any day now the Supreme Court's going to challenge that. They just have to have the right case to come forward to be able to turn it, unfortunately. Anyway, though, yeah, it was. So I'm going to be hearing that about that at work. Oh, Josh, just like. Getting all the dudes wanting to fuck him. I will definitely be hearing about that at work. John was already messaging our boss at work, our foreman Brittany, who is a lesbian. She is married to a woman, and I don't know that she'll find it as funny as the fellas are gonna. I'm sure razz me quite a bit. It's just gonna be John giving me shit. I think is the main key, but I'll hear it from a little bit from. So you're like, yeah, the old guy still got it. Then we tried to go, like, it just wasn't that many people at the landing. I was kind of saddened with the turnout, but again, we left and it was before 10, so I mean, it might have picked up later. But we ended up going to the gas station to get John some sweet treats because he was still flipping out how he wanted that fucking cake, and he didn't get his cake. At one point, actually, another waitress, like, I feel like maybe she knew he was like just being a bitch about the cake, and there was the second birthday cake that was like out on the table, and she walked right past John with it, like just pretty much had it right in his face, and then threw it in the trash can. It's pretty great, pretty epic, and and so yeah, we got cake, or he got some kind of sweets at Casey's, and then we hit up the sandbar because I was like, well, if you want some real action, maybe we'll, because that used to be back in the day when I would do bar hopping in my like later 20s, shall we, maybe even a little bit in my early 30s when I would occasionally do some bar hopping. So we're talking like well over a decade ago or a decade-ish ago, my early 30s. And so I, we went there, and it used to be in my day, back in my day, the sandbar had a dance bar, and it was the last stop for everybody, and if you wanted to hook up, I mean, the sandbar is where you go. Of course, we were there, it was after 10, but it was like 10:30. And again, it wasn't real late. That was probably the best time to hit the landing, you know? You want to hit the sandbar at like 1 a.m. That used to be the thing, but they don't have the dance bar at the sandbar. There was like beer pong set up, which I thought was odd. It was like, really? Beer pong still? I mean, when I was drinking heavily, like that was big, but I guess it's still a thing. Beer pong's still pretty popular, I guess, where they're just 10 years behind at the sandbar. But yeah, there was not like a big crew of people at the sandbar. They did have a lot of frozen drinks. They had machines with a lot of frozen alcohol drinks, which I was not feeling. But maybe in the summertime, I'm like, you know what? Let's go have some frozen margaritas at the sandbar. But yeah, it was a little different vibe there than it was when I was a young man, I guess. And nothing else like crazy happened. It was just the craziest thing, I guess, is that a young stud wanted to get up on this hog, if you know what I'm saying. Although I don't know if he was a top or a bottom. He might have wanted to just plow it in my back door, which wouldn't be the first time I met somebody at the landing that wanted my back door, because there was many years ago, which I think I've talked about plenty of times on the podcast, but it's been a while. It's been, because this event happened like over 10 years ago. I think I might have been doing the podcast already, but I was sort of on that date there with a girl, Christina, that was, I don't know if you want to call it a date. We were just hanging out, really, but at the landing. She was a waitress there. She wasn't working that night. We met up at the landing, so even on her nights off, she's just hanging out at the landing. But we were at a table and chatting up. Nothing ever happened. Unfortunately, she passed away of cancer in 2016, so shit, it's been almost a decade ago. That fucking sucks. She was just a really cool person. Just life of the party kind of person. Just like really funny. Would tell guys always to shut their man pleaser. just a really cool person. And like when I used to go to karaoke night a lot, and she would be the waitress up there, and she was just really cool. Anyway. The particular night I'm referring to, I went up there and I'm hanging out with Christina and like one of her friends, and I think maybe another person or two at the table. I think it was mainly just her and one of her friends were sitting at this table with, and they had both gone to the bathroom or something. They had both like left, and or just Christina did. Either way, she had left, and then as soon as she left, this blonde who was fairly attractive comes over to me. And then without saying hello, I did not know her. She didn't say, what's your name? There was none of that. There was no pleasantries. Just she leans over and says, I would totally eat out your asshole. And that is sort of the same situation as with the fella last night. Although it was just more like, hey, he thinks you're attractive. That was that seems more reasonable to say to somebody than rather to just come out with, I would totally eat out your asshole. But, because at least like, hey, I'd like to suck your dick. Maybe like there was like, and then, you know, if you want more, I'll eat out your asshole. I mean, sucking my, it wouldn't have worked that night anyway on me, because I was sort of with somebody that night. I wouldn't have just been like, all right, hey, let's go do this. Really not my MO anyway, but that night would have been suspect anyway if somebody just in a bar, like, you know, just like, are they gonna try to steal my money? Are they gonna want money? Is this a prostitution thing? What is this? Which I was a little confused, because when that woman had came up to me and said to me, she was a fairly attractive woman. I'm not into ass play, but had it been another night and just out with the fellas or something, and she, you know, like, hey, let's, you know, I don't know that had she said let's fuck or something, I would have just went out and fucked her. Had she, you know, warmed me up a little bit, said hello, hi, it's nice to meet you, you know, little wordplay before the fucking, maybe. But either way, she just comes out with, I would totally eat out your asshole, and I said, thanks. As she just like walks away, that was it. She just wanted to let me know. Thought it was not. It would be nice for me to know that she would totally eat out my asshole. As I was confused. Confused why anybody would want to eat out my asshole. I know my asshole. I know the shit that's come out of my asshole. And never did the thought occur to me like someone should stick their tongue down there. Because that's just not something. Something I want, and it's not a pretty asshole. I got a lot of hair down there. It's just not, I mean, fully clothed, it might be like, yeah, I kind of want to But put actually in practice, I'm thinking no. I wouldn't advise it. Yeah, that was probably the more strangest thing I've had. But it's the same bar, the landing. There's something about me at the landing. I'm just giving off a certain vibe. I never did see that woman again. I mean, it was so many years ago, I wouldn't recognize her now. It was just like in passing. And I thought maybe at that point in time, I thought maybe Christina put her up to this, which may or may not have been the case. She might have been just fucking with me to see how I would respond. Just for a laugh. Which, of course, when she came back, I told her all about it. And her friend, and we all had a laugh about it. And she, I was like, that, she's, I think, said some negative things towards that girl, and saying she was a real slut or something. I don't remember what it was. But we had a good laugh about it. And that was, I wish I had, like, you know, a recording of that night and just to go back and play it. Like, oh, it was an interesting situation. But it is flattering, though. Like, even though, you know, I don't want somebody looking at my asshole, I mean, it's flattering to know that somebody wanted to eat out my asshole. And just, it was flattering to know that guy, you know, thought I was attractive. And then after he said how old I was, he's like, oh, that's, you're pretty fucking old. And then saying about there was bruises on my face, is that from balls, like, hit? That's not from balls, like, hitting your chins? I'm like a steel worker. It's just, like, metal, big, hard metal cords. Smacking me in the face. Welding. That's what that's from. It's a welding. Not digging balls, being slapped on my forehead. I'm not aware of there being any bruises on my face. John seemed to think that there didn't look like appear to be any bruises on my face. I think that was just a joke. But I'm like, I'm also, you know, I was like, I'm 43. I got bruises all over. I've been rode hard and put away wet. Now I'm very dry. I'm very dry. I'm old and dry. There's no lubricating this anymore. Yeah, it was just a weird turn of events. Weird, crazy stuff. But yeah, so it goes. As far as, man, the cat situation, I really don't know what's going to go on there. I really thought putting, like, the collar on, because I took her to the vet yesterday, and the vet seems to think, like, yeah, that she should be fine as far as, like, because it. I read that it is possible that when they do take out the ovaries, that sometimes they miss one or miss a little bit of ovarian tissue, and the cat can still get in heat after being spayed. And I was afraid that was the case because last Sunday she was acting just like she was in heat. But like the vet had said, hormones can stay in the body for quite a while after getting spayed, and it can still kind of appear that they're in heat. She's figuring because she was a surrender and that she was spent quite a while in the kennel, that's probably a lot to do with why she has the behavioral problems that she does right now. And she was telling me, like, you know, if it is too much, you know, you can always return them. But I'm thinking, like, you know, man, like, I don't want this cat to get euthanized. I mean, I was really wanting to strangle her at times throughout this week when she would not let me sleep. But, I mean, I don't want to see her dead. I'd like to, you know, if she's not going to be here, I'd prefer to, you know, go to some other family, like a family or something. I think it would be better for her, because she is just so constant. She's like, I can't even close the bathroom door to use the bathroom without her losing her shit. She needs like constant attention, constant playing and stuff to keep her occupied. Like, I find that I would think if she went to a household where there was a couple of young kids, like, would be a good thing. Just so she'd have a lot to do, a lot of interaction. Whereas this old fuck right here, although, you know, I might have some young studs wanting to ride this train. I'm not very active as far as, like, when I'm home. Like, I'm not home a whole lot. I go and work. You know, I trying to get back into running, but that's, I seem to have completely kiboshed that, especially now that with the second cat, because she's really taken up all my other time, except for, you know, when I say go to a Blues game or the bar. For the most part, man, shit, it's, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I got to give it a while. I can't just go like I'm going to kick her out because, you know, theoretically she should hopefully calm down. And maybe her and Fox will become friends. And this misery that I'm going through right now will be worth it. As right now, it's tough, man. It's tough, and I really felt, you know, sorry for Mr. Fox here, Agent Fox Mulder, that I put him through hell as his life's, like, turned upside down, because most of the time she's, like, sleeping with me now, because that seems to be the way I can get her to calm down the most. Otherwise, like, I've tried keeping her in the bathroom upstairs, but she freaks out so bad, and it echoes in there. It's a small bathroom next to my bedroom, so I hear it, and it echoes, and she's just really fucking loud when she's in there. And then that sets off the neighbor's dogs, so I'm sure they can also hear it. If not, I mean, they hear the fucking dogs losing it. And so I don't want to also keep up my neighbors. That's just not fair. They're not the ones that decide, like, in a dumbass decision they had to, like, add a second cat to their household. So I feel like they shouldn't have to pay the price. Unfortunately, Fox hasn't been able to sleep with me. Although the night before last, I did let her have the rest of the household, and Fox and I just closed Fox and I off in the bedroom into where he could sleep with me in the bedroom. which he did get that. And then last night when John did stay over after the bars, and he did get to sleep on John, so he got some company. So he's not completely alone. I've been trying to spend plenty of time with Fox. After I record this, I'll make sure he's all right and let him know he's still my boy. Still my number one, still my ride or die. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with Scully though. She is turned out to, you know, I was looking for an Agent Scully and I got more of a monster of the week. Carrie might just be a more appropriate name. Whereas, of course, from the Stephen King film, Carrie, where, of course, she was just killing people with their minds at the end after she got hit with the pig's blood. That might be more accurate. I feel like that's an accurate name. The Humane Society might have picked just the perfect name. They may have. Anyway, I guess that's really all I've got for the moment. As always, that is A Kid in a Wheelchair, not a trash can.